This is now the beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentary number 16C in page 6 of the compilation on the seven cosmic paths. Now, as I say, these page numbers may be a little bit unstable because they are not pages in a book. They are pages in a compilation, and the compilation pages can change as I insert, as I tend to do, other information. We're in this compilation on the seven cosmic paths, and we've looked at what Initiation Human and Solar has to say in the introduction to the paths, and now we look on at what Cosmic Fire is saying. Some amazing things, including coming to my mind, maybe for the first time in any impressive way, the idea of great initiates staying with our solar system for many, many kalpas, just as high human initiates stay with our planetary system. And this is interesting, you know. On the path of Earth service, Sanat Kumara taps the initiates. He would have stay with the planetary scheme, planetary scheme. Okay, planetary scheme. But on the path of solar service, as we have been calling it, we can imagine that the solar logos would tap the very high initiate of what status we do not know, but not man, much higher than man, of course. All right, very exciting material. You know, very stimulating in terms of the vision, but we have to keep things in proportion. As I said, the one thing we don't need is a bunch of personality egos treading the cosmic paths, right? I mean, you know, the possible inflation that a human being can bring to this teaching is sometimes staggering. So we have to keep things in proportion. The seven paths at a certain stage, which may not be defined, become the four paths, owing to the fact that our solar system is one of the fourth order. Well, okay, these are paths out of our solar system. Are the path numbers the same for those coming from different solar systems? So we have a merging of the seven into the four, and then further merging, I suppose. But we don't know whether the humanity or the initiates of another solar system, they probably are treading the path to the same cosmic logoi, and then eventually to the Pleiades at the hub of everything. But do they have the same ways of getting there? So you said there's something about this fourth order solar system that's telling us something about the way our initiates tread the paths. Something about our fourth order solar system which is informing us of how our liberated monads or Chohans tread these paths. And here more information is given than maybe DK anticipated in giving an Initiation Human and Solar. We don't know. This merging is affected in the following way. The initiates upon path one fight their way onto path four. So for them, path one disappears. And maybe it disappears altogether. Maybe it disappears at a higher stage of evolution of our planetary scheme. We don't know. The initiates upon path 2 alchemize themselves onto path 7. Okay, so, you know, alchemy shows the relation of the fifth ray to the seventh, and many fifth ray monads tread the second path. The initiates upon path 3, through piercing the veils, find themselves upon path 5. And this is interesting because I had thought, I had thought that planetary logoi could more directly amalgamate and become solar logoi. But I think this is likely, i.e., that they can become solar logoi, but that there may be an interim step. That this leaves path 4 to be accounted for. Upon this path pass all those who, through devotion and activity combined, you know, it's kind of a sixth ray involved, achieve the goal, but who yet lack the full development of the monastic principle. This being the solar system of love, wisdom, or of astral Buddhic development, the fourth path includes the large number of the sons of men and maybe from all the planets collectively, as he talks not just of Earth, but of the solar system. In the hierarchy of our planet, the lords of compassion are numerically greater than the masters of the wisdom. I guess with DK we have a master of the wisdom, but with Master Jesus or Serapis we have a lord of compassion. This is said later. For instance, DK is a master of the wisdom, and master, even they use the word master, Serapis and Jesus are lords of compassion. The former must therefore pass to the sun Sirius there to undergo a tremendous monastic stimulation, inconceivable to us, for Sirius is the emanating source of manas to our solar logos. And thus, to a degree, to our system and its planets, though the Pleiades are involved in this stimulation of the planetary logoi towards Manus. There the mystic must go and become a spark of mahatic electricity, so we see there is always a great balancing going on, and maybe the masters of the wisdom are balanced more in the direction of love. Maybe the masters of the wisdom are balanced more in the direction of love. I think I want to make this a little easier on myself and put another abbreviation. I'm going to do it in lowercase. And we'll see whether it allows me to keep it in lowercase. No, it doesn't. It doesn't allow. No. So we better keep the capitals. That's the way it goes. So really, the four paths, So the four final paths are paths 1, paths 7, 6, 5, and 4, or absolute sonship, Solar Logoi, Ray Path, and Path to Sirius. Path to Sirius, okay? PTSR looks good to me. PTSR, and we'll call it the Path to Sirius. All right. Path to Sirius. Good. And this is absolute. All right. Sonship. Now that term should be added to the dictionary, sonship. Well, when does this transfer take place? When does it take place? Is our solar system still extant? Is there any way or any manner in which the freed monads must return to our solar system before transfer to some of the highest paths? In other words, think of it. Solar angels are trained on Sirius. They have to come back to our solar system at some point. Is it this incarnation of our solar system or the next one? They have to come back, but still, they can become planetary logoi, and planetary logoi can become rays. And I assume that rays can become solar logoi. So in that way, if men can become solar angels can become planetary logoi can become rays, and rays can become solar logoi, we have a method of moving from one path to the other, and probably some of this movement, for the particular monad occurs after the solar system has been dissolved, or at least one of its incarnations, the present one, and maybe after all have been dissolved, because we just don't know the time scale here. The seven paths are not concerned with nature or the balancing of the pairs of opposites. This has already been done. They are not concerned with the third aspect of divinity and the second aspect of divinity, as these express through form and soul. They are concerned only with unity, with that which utilizes the pairs of opposites as factors in the production of light. Well, what an amazing statement that is. So, in other words, they are involved, who tread these paths are already identified with the whole. And we are dealing with the intensification of cosmic light and raising of vibration, within the perceived wholeness. Well, that doesn't come close to saying it, but it's what comes to my mind here. So there is no struggle concerning differentiation, although we're told that they fight their way. The path of Earth service fights his way onto, but since those monads on the path of Earth service, quote, fight their way onto the path of the solar logoi, then maybe some kind of conflict between contending forces does exist. Anyway, we're not dealing with the with nature per se and the laws of nature, or with balancing the pairs of opposites. They have been balanced. We're dealing with we are dealing with monadic identifications and deepening identification. And that can be done as one identifies with more and more of the cosmos. One can identify with the one life, but at what level of depth or intensity does one identify with the one life? That's the question for those on these paths. They deal with that unknown quantity which is responsible for the pairs of opposites. That unknown quality is this is being itself. Therefore, they are primarily concerned with that which lies outside the manifested forms, with the true abstraction or the absolute. To me, with being in cosmos, as far as the absolute, as the infinity of all infinities, I think this is not the issue. But we're dealing with progressive identification with what we might call the absolute as the absolute in cosmos, or as cosmos. So let's see, AB, astrobody, that won't do. Spirit and matter are never dissociated during manifestation. They are the duality lying back of all that is objective, and these are the pairs of opposites with which we have to contend. There's also the pairs of opposites, soul and personality, but spirit and matter are cosmically the fundamental pairs of opposites. Yet, some factor is responsible for them, that which is neither spirit nor matter. Okay. So, finally, spirit is dissociated from life, or life. Spirit is, let's just say, spirit and matter, and matter are poles of the one. It's a bit like infinite spirit and Mula Prakriti, as I've tried to deal with in my infinitization book. So, yet some factor is responsible for them, and that which is neither spirit nor matter, that which will be regarded as non-existent by anyone except the initiate. So, that which is neither of the pairs of opposites, but which, in a way, includes them both and even is them both. At the third initiation, some glimmering light upon this abstraction is sensed by the initiate. So the third ray is the ray of abstract mind. This ray 3 must be used at the third initiation, even though that initiation is ruled by ray 5. Abstracting from form and even from soul is required. And by the time the fifth initiation is reached, enough is apprehended by him to enable him to set forth with ardor. Notice, ardor, aspiration, intensity, keenness. These states of approach are not outgrown. Some people say, oh, well, I'm a high initiated, I don't aspire anymore. Of course, that would be ridiculous, right? On the search for the secret. So on the way of higher evolution, really, on the way of higher evolution, we search for the secret of being by discovering deeper and deeper intensities of being. It's not like, you know, you get enlightened and that's it forever. Sometimes it seems when you study some of the Buddhist work, you go to nirvana and that's it. It's a one enlightenment forever, but a deeper form of occultism, which is esoteric, shows you that just as we cannot conceive that next aspect or that next step ahead, which may be altogether surprising to us, so even for higher initiates, the next level of intensity of being may be altogether surprising. The next level of depth of identification may be altogether surprising. Okay. Well, I think I'll just make a little pause here. I have to go someplace and do something. So pause. And if this somehow discontinues while I am away, then I have just about rounded out 2.5 hours of programming here. So I will pause the machine before going to the seven paths confronting a master as these paths are described in the rays and the initiation. We're so fortunate that he kept on adding to his description of the paths, because it makes our sense of the vision of what lies ahead ever clearer. But we have to remember that, you know, we're treading this in groups. We're not just treading this as an individual. The amalgamation of the monads. What can I call it? Amalgamation of the monads. Okay. And I'm going to make that an abbreviation. I may never use it again, but why not? Because it expresses such an important idea, at least in my view. Amalgamation of the monads. In other words, you know, the hint is given by the idea that solar petries in their groups become planetary logoi, or re-become. Complicated. To reconcile the emanative approach with the approach which works its way up from the grassroots, so to speak, as if with no connection to an emanative history. Amalgamation of the monads, though, I mean, you know, humans in their groups, well, maybe humans do not become solar angels, maybe humans in their groups do not become solar angels, who knows? I mean, who knows? We can, you know, even ask that ridiculous question. Do human monads in their groups become the greater beings we call solar angels? I've kind of, in passing, entertained the thought, but pretty well dismissed it. Do solar angels in their groups become planetary logoi? This we're told, eventually. Maybe they don't do that directly. But, you know, here's the idea. As we rise through the creative hierarchies, as we rise through the creative hierarchies, are there fewer and fewer members in the higher creative hierarchies due to the, I'll use it once, okay, amalgamation of the monads. So the you know, like the beads of mercury that I used to like to play with when I broke thermometers in the old days, you know, how it all coalesces. All those little beads become one bead, and then maybe the bigger beads are brought together and they become one bead and so forth. You know, just break a thermometer. Maybe they don't have them anymore. I don't know. But get seven little beads of mercury and then just push them together and whoop, they're going to become like one thing. And that is my analogy for the amalgamation of the monads. Beads of mercury and the amalgamation of the monads analogy. All right, I'll be back shortly, and we'll continue with this fascinating material. It just is like a breath of relief to be able to deal with it. I've been intending to deal with it for years, but I have a feeling that a certain amount of learning along various lines had to occur before I could deal with it, And then from another perspective, no amount of learning will suffice to deal with some of the things that are actually going to be dealt with. Okay. See you soon. Okay, friends, we are continuing with the rays and initiations. I paused there for a moment. We have finished initiation human and solar, and the also a treatise of cosmic fire on the introduction to the seven paths. So this is what the rays and the initiations has to say. It will be apparent to you now that the master confronts two crises, the crisis of the will, as it demonstrates in unalterable decision. So the choice appears to be irrevocable. Once chosen, one has to see it through. We understand that the Buddha chose incorrectly. It's been some 2,500 years. D.K. talks about his most understandable choice because it was out of compassion for humanity. And recently, we learned that it has been indicated to him that it is time now to move on, and he has maybe other plans that we don't know. Of course we don't. The crisis of the new step, which will probably cast him adrift upon the shore of some distant sphere wherein his will must be expressed in love. A sphere is interesting because every life demonstrates essentially as a sphere. So the master goes towards a distant life, maybe, however, a planet or a planetary planetary school is the first stop, such as Betelgeuse, perhaps on the path of the, Jupiter on the path of the planetary Logoi, and under Sagittarius, and eventually Betelgeuse and so forth. Maybe Venus, I don't know, might be some kind of path for the path to Sirius. It all depends how long it stays in a state of manifestation, but then it's possible even to enter a subtle sphere of a planet which is in process of being synthesized, or at least is in process of absorption. These ambiguous words of the old commentary mean that his decision will, with one exception, take him away from all he has hitherto known. Will he have companions? One has to be willing when becoming universalized. One has to take such risks, I suppose. The question is, traveling companions, anyone? And probably, as we understand it, there is no travel insurance, which can be purchased anywhere on Earth forever for any effective use elsewhere. The majority of the masters then enter into realms wherein they are needed, quote, to impart, strengthen, and enlighten that which is already fused, already strong, and already full of light, but which needs that which he brings in order to express the all-encompassing whole. So it seems that these paths of cosmic paths, cosmic planes, SCP, these seven cosmic paths are, in a way, paths of service. We cannot imagine that they are simply paths of selfish acquisition, because there are realms where they can use everything they have been. Well, he will serve in a higher way, it appears. The master serves it looks like, those who are high initiates, because they have strength, light, fusion, but need what he can confer. So the seven cosmic paths are paths of learning, and it looks like also paths of service. They are needed. If they are needed, these are paths of service. After all, the solar angels, which are much higher than masters are involved in training for future service, and maybe even on the paths they train by serving. I mean, it is possible and likely. It is possible to train by serving. And so many of us are doing precisely that. Alice Bailey started the Arcane School, a great service. It was part of her training for further work in the master, ashram of Master K.H. D.K. has told us that. So many of the services which we undertake are part of our training. I will leave you with these words as food for reflection, as there is little further I may say upon this point. The new step, the decision at the sixth initiation involving Libra, maybe the third ray, you know, possible different streams, cast him adrift upon the shore of some distant sphere. Well, even Venus or Jupiter are distant in terms of planetary training for further progress along the path, upon the shore of some distant sphere wherein his will must be expressed in love. So, let's just say, in a way, he has the love, and his will is being developed on this path. Even in becoming a Chohan, a full Chohan, his will was also developed, but the will continue to be developed. The majority, etc., etc. Okay, I will leave you with these words as food for reflection, as there is little further I may say upon the point. In any case, and for all deciding groups of masters, notice this, because the sixth-degree initiates kind of get together and make a decision which may take them to different places, but they decide, I think, you know, more or less in the same context and with the same possibilities, all seven possibilities looming ahead. In any case, and for all deciding groups of masters, the work of the hierarchy is over, mostly, except for those few who choose path one. Part of the mistake, but only part, notice, of the mistake which the Buddha made was connected with the subject of decision. Amazing. He loved humanity so much that he felt he could not and did not choose the path which he was in reality ordained to follow. Well, you know, there are monadic rays on the monadic plane. We expect that. But do we expect monadic rays liberated on the logoic plane? What is the very depth of the Buddha's monadic rays? Obviously, he has, we're told, third ray monads do this. But in some way, is he connected with the second person of the logoic trinity? We all have to be connected either with the first, second, or third person of the logoic trinity, I do believe. The seven monadic rays will not stand as such. They must be reduced to three major. So watch the use of the word major when DK discusses the monads. He chose instead the path of earth service, which was not his path at all. So in a way, you could say he tarried, lingered, remained attached. And the great irony here, of course, is that he taught all about detachment. This is, well, you know, on such a high level, who can say much about it? But he remained attached to Earth, and in a very high and salvational way. And yet his great teaching is all about detachment. Well, the old saying, we teach what we have to learn, and of course you can't really apply it at that high level, but you know, the analogy is there. This he knows and will in due time pass on to his rightful path. This is written in the 1940s. So what is due time, we don't know, but we've been told that Sanat Kumara, well, that the Buddha would remain perhaps for a few more decades. This was back in 1946, a few more decades doing his yearly pilgrimage or appearance in the Wesak Valley. Has it gone beyond then? So many things have changed because of the atomic possibilities for disaster, I think, that we don't know in what emergency mode the masters find themselves at this time. This little incident will demonstrate the complete freedom of choice which distinguishes the sixth initiation. There is something that is ordained. There is a path which is ordained, but we may not recognize this ordination. And if we do recognize it, we may not choose it. Well, DK says we're not making such a great success of the probationary path or the path of discipleship, so these considerations are far ahead of us. But whatever can strengthen with accuracy the vision of human possibilities, the truthful vision, non-glamorous vision, has got to serve the way we act and react in our present circumstances. The seven paths are, as you know, from your study of initiation, human and soul, to the following, and he just repeats these, so we don't need to take them up again. In that first book, which I wrote for the world, meaning for even those who are not yet on the path, but maybe for those who were aspiring, for those who had some possibility of aspiration, I gave a simple definition of the exoteric significance of these paths, so simple as to convey but little. I wrote then for the general public. I will now endeavor to convey some of the deeper meanings, writing as I do for advanced disciples and for initiates. By advanced disciples, I suppose he means those who have taken the second degree or are taking it, those who are taking the second degree or are taking it. And initiates are those who are taking or have taken the third degree, who, reading between the lines and understanding the symbolism involved, will comprehend according to their point of evolution. I suppose much the DK would say could help the arhats and even masters in relation to what they confront with the paths. I mean, they have to be educated on these points, do they not? And somehow Master DK is extremely learned on these matters that have to do with planetary, systemic, and cosmic energies. As we approach the subject of the seven paths, I would point out that the only basic point which can be presented to you is that of relationship. All these seven paths lead to some objective which is thereby put in touch with our planetary life, and perhaps this is a ultimately, Pleiadian. Whoop, that won't do. Objective. These objectives, with the life and conditions they represent, present to the master a vision of possibility. But DK has just said, you know, he does not know. The master does not really know what he will confront. There's always surprises in the great unfoldment of consciousness and the great intensification of the realization of being. The vision is adequate to the task of drawing him forth from the hierarchical ashram, except in one case where vacancies in Shambhala need to be filled. So this might be have more to do with the path of earth service. The progressive experience of the greater lives who work in the council chamber of Sanakumara form no part of our studies. Well, okay. There must be progression for these lives, and this we are told. Many of these supreme workers, as you have read in the Treatise on Cosmic Fire, found their way to our planet from our sister planet, Venus. I suppose here we're talking about the 104, 105, 108 Kumaras. Let's say 104, however we count it, 108 Kumaras. Thereby, in their turn, establishing a relationship with our planet. Remember also that all the seven rays are the sub-rays of the great cosmic ray of love wisdom. This is the ray of the solar logos, and maybe it's a cosmic nature even extends to an aspect of the ray constitution of the logos of the Pleiades, which is ever expressive of relationship, this ray, second ray, ever expressive of relationship implemented under the law of attraction. So under the law of attraction, we learn much about relationship. The law of attraction is the second ray law, and this energy is wielded under this law. It is this form of esoteric attraction which draws the master forth from his ashram. So he leaves the ashram as a becoming Chohan and makes a decision. Those who are heads of the ashram as Chohans now, C-H-O-S, we're going to do it that way, C-H-O-S, Chohans, as Chohans now, are apparently on the path of earth service. The Christ is, and all of the Master K.H. and Master Hilarion and Master Jesus and Master Mori and so forth, all this, these apparently are Chohans on the path of earth service and working in connection with Shambhala, the Chohanic heads of the seven... Okay, seven ashrams, and we'll do it that way. Okay, seven ashrams. Seven ashrams. They are working within Shambhala. Are working within Shambhala. So it is this form of esoteric attraction, the law of attraction. Perhaps it's like attracting like, you know, in a way. Let's look at this. We can say like attracting like. Conditions his decision and eventually leads to his passing through the door, again a symbol, which opens onto other spheres and planes of activity. Well, the cosmic astral plane and the cosmic mental plane are eventually open to him because all of these paths, with the exception of the path of earth service, lead either to the cosmic mental plane or the cosmic astral plane, and one to the cosmic buddhic plane, which is the path of the solar logoi. Well, let's see where we are here. Let's continue. Let us now consider very briefly and necessarily inadequately these seven paths, taking them one by one, and here we go. This is going to be the most demanding work. Maybe it will be equally demanding as the stanzas of Jian, which are found in the beginning of the book. Why do we study this material? You know, it can have, this material has no immediate practical application, except that it alters our vision. Well, the old saying, where there is no vision, the people perish. And maybe we can make a corollary, where there is a great vision, the people thrive. HPB, I remember, said that for some people, theosophy is their last hope, you know. They have exhausted all desire for the various situations and entities in the lower worlds. Time in its myriad forms, I know too well, says this ancient mantram used in ancient rituals at the third degree. Time in its myriad forms, I know too well. Space in its life, I cannot know, and so I want it not. Time in its myriad forms, I know too well. So, theosophy is the last hope, and there has to be something to inspire the individual to work his way through the veils of Maya and out of the dense physical body of the solar logos, because that's it. This is the realm of death, in a way. We are trapped in a realm which is really a continuation of the energy system of the solar logos in his previous incarnation. And we don't really begin to live until we reach the cosmic Buddhic plane, which is really a cosmic vitality. Until then, we're simply living on the energy which is called latent fire, at least as far as the solar and planetary logos are concerned. Even in our causal body, from the solar logos, it is latent fire. So this extraordinary vision, think of how many erroneous visions we have. We have a vision of life after death that will maybe take us either to the lower levels of the cosmic astral plane or to some, no, lower levels of the astral plane, systemic astral plane, or to some middling level of the astral plane, or maybe some summer land, you know, and maybe the more informed Eastern student has a vision of Devachan. But, you know, from the popular perspective, the vision is not very elevating. It's pretty much a continuation of our personal life under more favorable circumstances. But for those who are outgrowing the personality, the life of the soul, solar angel, and in the spiritual triad is a great attraction. And for those who are, think of it, outgrowing the spiritual triad because they are already masters of the wisdom or high initiates, and all life moves on, deepening its intensity of appreciation of being and deepening its consciousness and expanding its power, augmenting its power, all life moves on. So for those who are outgrowing the personality of the monad, these paths of the monad are very appealing. And even for us who are in a relatively lowly state but wanting to inspire humanity with a vision that is not full of glamour, not full of ahamkara, not full of selfhood. I will go here and I will go there and I will have this satisfaction. I was reading something where this man was saying, well, in paradise, the sexual power of the man in paradise is 100 times greater. I don't know where he got that idea, but if that is the motivating cause to reach the other world, some state of identification in a higher sense is really missing. Only a lower state of identification would be an incentive, such an incentive. So here we have this vision of what our essence actually will do and how it will progress and how we will lose the various veils, the ray and qualitative veils which in a sense encapsulate us now. How will we lose these? How will we dispense with these? How will we burn them up through various destructions? Maybe the destruction of a kind of atmic causal body, the destruction of a temple of Ezekiel. How will we drop the confinements of the monad and liberate the volatile essence into ever more subtle and capacious rings pass not? And the cosmic paths open to us that possibility, that there's always more, and that, you know, we're, you know, to use the old cliche, even for unmusical people, they're stuck playing a harp in heaven, you know, because they've become an angel. I mean, it's so childish, isn't it? So here we have the greatest minds on the planet presenting to us a vision of realistic possibilities. They may seem stranger than fiction to some, but the intellectual credentials of these masters is very solid, and their intuitional credentials are infallible, and this is the vision they present. So if we have any recognition whatsoever, it would be just foolish to reject these possibilities. And so, you know, even for people such as we are, this vision can permeate our consciousness and renew our enthusiasm for all that must be done upon the great path. First the ray paths and leading to the ashrams and leading to the normal initiatory transformations, and then the cosmic paths, which are not really ray paths. They may have some ray associations with them, like the majority of monads and this ray, etc., tread this or that path, but they are not ray paths. They are paths of higher possibility where the man will be cast adrift on some distant shore where he must serve, he must express his will in love. It's a very beautiful, beautiful idea. So I think if these study of these ray paths can in some way recondition our consciousness, then they are all to the good and should be attended to. Not that we will ignore the other things closer to home. We still want to have, you know, purification. We still want to have integrated personalities. We still want to have personalities integrated with soul action, personalities which are fused with the soul. We still want to have the antikarana and the link to the spiritual triad and take our place in the divine plan right here and now. We want all that, and we should want it, but the great vision, as long as we don't get glamored by it, is a lasting source of inspiration and will tell us we simply will get through all our trials and tribulations. So what we have here then is the end of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries 16C, page 13 of the TCF compilations. Well, I knew I did this before, but I forgot how I did it. So TCF, what's it called? Paths of Higher Evolution. Let's see. I wonder if I have that. P-O-H-E. Paths of Higher Evolution. I did. The Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. And beginning of Cosmic Fire Webinar Commentaries, 17A, page 13. As I say, these pages may be a little bit unstable because of things I may go back and serve and insert. Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. So I'm going to see whether I can insert that. Paths of Higher Evolution compilation. Higher Evolution All right. Well, then that will be, for the moment, the end. I think I'll close this section with a great invocation. I think so. It's useful to do this and helpful to do this every once in a while. I used to do it with every program. It might even be a good thing to do that, but then sometimes I take one program to the next and I keep the train of thought. So, within, okay. So we'll use our note G here. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Okay, friends, I don't know how far I've gone and whether this last program is a short one or not, but I think close enough. So we will get started on the first cosmic path and into that terrifying territory we call the archaic stanzas, which, from which the description of the cosmic paths are taken. You know, you kind of wonder who wrote these archaic stanzas. What level of initiate wrote these? Obviously something very high, because how in the world would they know anything about them? This has to have come out of Shambhala, and maybe it is the Tibetan translating from the ancient Xinza language. Maybe no one wrote them in English, of course. Maybe the internal language is entirely different, but we have fortunately his interpretation, and we'll do with it the best we can. So, see you soon. Bye-bye.